Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we are looking at the subject of the divine nature of Christ. I've been trying to look at references that are often overlooked or those that aren't quite as obvious in the Old as well as the New Testament proving that Jesus Christ is truly God. Thus far in our studies this week, we have proven that Jesus Christ is eternal. Then also in our last study, we started looking at the angel of the Lord and showing that it's actually a revelation of who God is. It's not just a personage or an angel, but it's actually the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, before he was born and came to the earth. Now, one of the problems that we run into is when we see the term angel of the Lord, we look at Jesus and say, well, how could he be an angel? Well, the term angel isn't always referring to as an angel that is created by God, but actually carries the idea of a messenger, one that's going to bring revelation. And that's what the angel of the Lord does. He brings revelation about who God is and his plan. Because we do see in the book of Hebrews where God himself says that Jesus is superior to the angels because he commands all the angels of God to worship him. So don't be confused in thinking that the Old Testament is saying that the angel of the Lord is simply an angel that was created by God, but it's actually the term angel means a messenger, someone that's going to bring something from God. That's actually what Jesus Christ did in his first coming as well. He was a manifestation of who God is. He came to reveal the nature and character of God, as well as his plan for salvation and for all of eternity. So in that sense, this term angel of the Lord, or the messenger of the Lord, is applied to Jesus. As we were looking in our last study, we finished in Exodus chapter 3, but we need to go back there, especially to verse 2, because this is crucial. Exodus chapter 3, verse 2 says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame," speaking of Moses, "from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed." And so here it says the angel of the Lord is the one that came and spoke to Moses and appeared to Moses through this burning bush. And everybody knows, as you read through Exodus chapter 3, that this voice that comes out of the bush is the Lord himself. And so it's clear that the angel of the Lord is a divine being. And this is what brings to the conclusion that the angel of the Lord is Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate state, or before he was born here as a child. Because we see in John chapter 1:18, which says, "No man has seen God at any time." But yet, these people are encountering God. Some say, "I've seen God face to face," when they meet the angel of the Lord. So trying to put all these references together, we conclude that the angel of the Lord is the second person of the divine Trinity, Jesus Christ. And it's clear in Exodus chapter 3 that the angel of the Lord appears to Moses in this burning bush. And in verse 4 of the same chapter, it says, "So when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to look." Also verse 7, "And the Lord said," and that phrase, "and the Lord said," continues all the way through Exodus chapter 3, culminating in verse 14, which says, "And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you." So this angel of the Lord is the I am, is Jehovah God of the Old Testament. We have to remember that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And here, it's the Son appearing in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord. There's another place in the book of Exodus which mentions the angel of the Lord and then attributes divine characteristics to him. In Exodus chapter 23, verse 20 and 21, we'll clearly see that the angel of the Lord, once again, is truly God. "Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him." So here we see two divine characteristics of this angel of the Lord, pardoning sin and his name being in him. First of all, it's clear that forgiveness of sins comes from God alone. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25 says, "I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." Also, Daniel chapter 9, verse 9 is a prayer which says, "To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness." Then also in reference to my name being in him, as Charles Hodge points out, by the name of God is often mentioned God himself as being manifested. And he gives an example of 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 29, where God said about the temple that Solomon had built, "My name will be there," which is a reference to my presence will be there. So as the angel of the Lord is present among Moses and his people, that's God's presence being there, because the angel of the Lord is God. Another way to prove the same point is by reading Exodus chapter 33, verse 14, where the Lord said to Moses, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." But then we see Paul's commentary in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 on this Old Testament period, which says, "And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." So Paul here says that presence that was among the nation of Israel as they were wandering in the wilderness was Christ. But yet here God says, "My presence will go with you." Another time the angel of the Lord shows up in the Old Testament is in Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. And here he appears as the commander of the Lord's army. And it reads this way, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, 'Are you for us or for our adversaries?' So he said to him, 'No, but as commander of the army of the Lord.'" Now, this term commander is not talking about a rank that's under somebody. It's talking about the person that is in charge. "He is the person in charge of the army of the Lord. I have now come." "And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, 'What does my Lord say to his servant?' Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, 'Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy.' And Joshua did so." Then in chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, it goes on to show us that this commander truly is the Lord. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. "And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor.'" Chapter 6 flows right on in after chapter 5. So often we break it because there's a chapter division, but we have to remember that the Hebrew Bible, there were no divisions and numbering systems like this. So here it refers to this commander of the Lord's army. It refers to him as Jehovah, as well as Joshua bows before him in worship. And this commander of the Lord's army does not rebuke him, but receives this worship and then gives him instruction as to the divine plan. So once again, we see another person is described as the commander of the Lord's army. Once again, he'd be the same person as the angel of the Lord, the second person of the Trinity, the Son. And we see here divine qualities applied to him as well. Another place in the Old Testament where we see the angel of the Lord is when he appears to Gideon in Judges chapter 6 at verse 11, which reads, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites." But then later in the chapter in verse 14, this angel of the Lord speaks to him, and he is referred to as Jehovah. In verse 14 it says, "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours.'" And that term Lord is the term Jehovah. Then also in verse 16, you have the same thing. "And the Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you.'" Then in verses 22 and 23, it's even clearer, which reads, "Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, 'Alas, O Lord God,'" which is Adonai Jehovah, definitely referring to a divine being, "'for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face.' Then the Lord said to him," which again is Jehovah, "'Peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die.'" So here this angel of the Lord is referred to as Adonai Jehovah. Very clear that this is a divine being. And for our last look at the angel of the Lord, we'll turn to Judges chapter 13. And in verse 22, this is where the angel of the Lord has an interaction describing to the parents of Samson this incredible birth that's about to take place. And the parents respond this way. "And Manoah said to his wife, 'We shall surely die because we have seen God.'" And that's in response to verse 15 of the chapter, which says, "Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'Please let us detain you and we'll prepare a young goat for you.'" So here, as he saw the angel of the Lord, he now says, "We have seen God." Verse 23 says, "Then his wife said to him, 'If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from your hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time.'" And so here, as this husband and wife encountered the angel of the Lord, they said, "We have seen God," and thought they were about to die. And this term for God here is the term Elohim, which is used of God over 2,570 times in the Old Testament, refer to Jehovah God. So as you study the scriptures, another way to prove that Jesus Christ is truly God is by studying the angel of the Lord. And we've seen over these last 2 days that as the angel of the Lord shows up, he is referred to as Jehovah, he is referred to as God, he is referred to as people seeing God face to face and yet still living. He receives worship, he is able to forgive, he is actually the presence of the Lord. He makes promises that only God has made or could make. So it is clear that you could go to the Old Testament and prove that Jesus Christ is truly God. Along with these references, you'll want to use Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4, which is, "Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? Now listen to this part. And what is his son's name, if you know? And here it doesn't say what his son's name will be. This means that the son has existed with God the Father throughout all eternity. So the Son of God has appeared in the Old Testament in the personage of the angel of the Lord, and he is truly God. It's a fascinating study looking at the angel of the Lord. So I'd really encourage you to go back and look at these references which describe the angel of the Lord, and you'll be convinced, as I am, that it is truly the second person of the divine Trinity.